Offended is part of how we learn. If you can't offend people, then you can't criticize people. And if you can't criticize people and ideas, then there is absolutely no way to figure out what ideas are good and what ideas are bad. My name is Jonathan Rauch. I'm a guest scholar at the Brookings Institution in Washington, and I wrote a book a while back called Kindly Inquisitors, The New Attacks on Free Thought. Almost every authority in human history that has tried to enforce one orthodoxy or another, first has got it wrong, and second has been well-intentioned. Whenever anyone tells you, I've got it right, I've got the one true answer, and everyone else is wrong, and I'm going to enforce it, that person is not only a menace to freedom, but more important, a menace to human thriving and human knowledge. And it would be a shame if universities of all places in this country forgot that lesson. The fundamental reason we have universities is to discover knowledge and to convey to students how we discover knowledge. The way we discover knowledge is by starting out with our prejudices, our bigotries, our mistakes, and testing them and throwing away the 99% that's wrong and keeping the rest. But prejudice and bigotry and error are not the enemies of knowledge. They're the raw material of knowledge. The enemy of knowledge is the kind of certitude that won't let you put prejudice and bigotry and error out there and won't let you test it. Because if you can't test the bad stuff in order to weed out the good stuff, all you have is bad stuff. I've been writing as an openly gay advocate of gay equality and now gay marriage for 20 years. And to me, it's been a miracle to witness the power of persuasion in America. As Martin Luther King understood, and as Frank Kameny, the great gay activist, recently died, understood, by far the most important tool that minorities have for obtaining equality in America is our power to change people's mind by our force of argument and by our force of example. So I wrote a book called Kindly Inquisitors about 20 years ago, in which I argued that the biggest threat to freedom of speech in America in many ways is not from the traditional book burners and censors. It's from well-intentioned liberals and progressives in many cases who want to protect minorities and want to protect people from being, as they called it, wounded by words. What they were trying to do, I called it the humanitarian impulse, because basically it was trying to make society a better and kinder place. The problem with that is that it's misguided, because we, members of minorities, we're not delicate flowers. We don't need to be protected from people who don't like us or respected, because we can't earn their respect or admiration or change their mind by hiding from them. We have got to be in situations where we can confront and encounter them, sometimes angrily, but more often with persuasion. The humanitarian attack basically, unfortunately, stigmatizes criticism. It says hurting people's feeling with words is a bad thing. Well, it's not a good thing, I grant you that, but it's a necessary part of the knowledge creation process. Forcing people into dialogue, forcing them to criticize each other and to encounter ideas that they may not like, that is the purpose of a university, and that is the thing that saves minorities and moves humanity toward newer, better ideas. The core principle for me is the distinction between, on the one hand, what I call purism, and on the other hand, what I call pluralism. Purism is the idea that a society has to be effectively cleansed of prejudice and bigotry and hateful views, because as long as those views are around, minorities are going to feel unsafe or be unsafe. Pluralism is a very different view. It says, bring it on, the more the better. The only really safe situation in society is when you can pit these views against each other and when minorities get their say and have the opportunity to denounce and refute views that are biased and bigoted. I think the right answer, and I think this has been proven by centuries of human experience, is in fact pluralism. We can't trust anybody in authority to make smart decisions for us about what's the acceptable point of view. And I think again and again on college campuses and elsewhere, it's been minorities and others who at the end of the day have stood up and said, you know, if we don't stand up for groups that take the other side, who's going to stand up for us? One of the things that the great writer H.L. Mencken once said is that no good idea was ever born that didn't start out by offending people. Being offended is part of how we learn. If you can't offend people, then you can't criticize people. And if you can't criticize people and ideas, then there is absolutely no way to figure out what ideas are good and what ideas are bad. I'm not for offending people on purpose, but is offendedness an absolutely indispensable part of the process of developing knowledge and living together as a society? Absolutely. And is it a dangerous situation when someone can shut down the search for truth by saying, oh, that offends me? Absolutely.